Anyone who is unwilling to work should not eat. When I first got to seminary in college, they actually read that exact same passage and then smiled at us and said, "So anyway, you guys are going to do the dishes after every meal." I think they justified the one with the other. I'm not really sure why they would do that, but you know, they said, you know, "Don't worry, you'll do your own dishes because, you know, anyone who's unwilling to work should not eat." We have reached the end. In so many ways, we remind ourselves that November is actually a reminder to us that we remember the dead. We remember those who've gone before us, not in some macabre or some ghoulish fashion, but as a reminder of where we're going. Not necessarily to the grave, we're all going to die one day, that's not the point. The point is what happens next. It's that what happens after that moment. It is a great reminder to us the whole life of Christ, the whole reason we are faithful to God, is this great promise of what happens next. We come into the great promise of heaven. We long for it. We should long for it. And the church remembers that in her cycle of the year. Believe it or not, the church actually has its own year. It actually begins with the first Sunday of Advent. We're almost at the end of our year. Not the calendar, but the church year. This is the last Sunday I'll wear green for quite some time. Not that I'm sad to see it go, but this is the last Sunday we'll wear green for quite some time. I'll wear it during the week for the next 2 weeks, but next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. I'll get more to that next week. I have time for that. This week we look at the very end. That's why it's a great reminder to us. That's why Luke offers us this reflection that we have. It says that, well, the time will come when not a single stone will be left upon another, that we'll hear of wars and insurrections and terrifying things, and it'll seem like it's all over. I read this passage and we think of doomsayers. We think of those people who stand on soapboxes or wear signs and they tell us the end is near, that the whole thing has come apart. It's like the great coalition of the two pastors that I know. There was a Lutheran pastor and a Catholic pastor, and they told the city council they would make the sign that was needed for the end of the road. And so they built this sign, and as they finished the sign said, "Turn back, the end is near." Somebody drove by, they had barely finished the sign, shouting that they should keep their religious ideologies to themselves. Not 10 seconds later, there's suddenly a loud screech and a scratch, and you can hear the brakes and the skidding of tires. One pastor looks at the other and says, "Do you suppose it'd be easier if we just wrote bridge out ahead?" Turn back, the end is near. We have this great reminder, this predisposition to even kind of reject the doomsayer, you know, that we're not really sure that we even want to stop and consider it. And yet, the church does want to take the time to remind us of that. Not that I should get on a soapbox and run around with a sign and tell you all that the end is near. I was kind of fascinated. Because whenever someone begins to talk about the end of the world, whenever they begin to say, you know, we're living in the end of days, or we've lived in this final ending, I always have to look at history. Christ came about 6 BC, 01 AD, you know, somewhere in there, and he lived for about 30 years, so he died maybe 30-something AD. By 70 AD, Emperor Titus of Rome came to Jerusalem, and he burned the city to the ground, and he burned the temple to the ground. It was the end of the world. Their temple was taken from them. For the Jewish people of God, it really was the end of the world. And yet we're still here. They salted the earth. They said, you know, no one will come back to that. Rome has a very systematic way of doing things. If you make them come back too many times, they just try and destroy it all. They salt the earth. They just try and scrub it from memory. The challenge was that Jerusalem was already filled with salt and nothing grew there anyway. So they just went and rebuilt. So that wasn't a big challenge there. But it was the end of the world. Jump ahead just 100 years and they experienced a great invasion from the north. They were sure it was the end of the world. And we're still here. About 100 years after that, in Spain, there was an uprising against the Roman Empire. There was the beginning of a second ice age that the world was encountering. And there were people, whoever they lived far enough north, or if they lived too high on the side of the mountain, they all began heading down and starting this great rebellion and this great resistance. And it seems like the end of the world. And yet we're still here. In the 600s, the nations of Africa rose up and they rallied under this great new religious leader who had promoted this great new faith and started this big push that went up through the Sinai Peninsula and invaded and took and burned and blazed everything in its path. And it came up on a two-pronged attack. It came through Spain and it came up through the Siberian or the Sinai Peninsula, and it was sure to destroy all of Europe. And they were sure it was the end of the world. And yet we're still here. I haven't even gotten to 1000 AD. Do we see how this pattern is going for us? We can talk about any great tragedy, from black plagues to dark ages to invasions of Goths and Visigoths to the great east-west divide of 1054, all the way to modern day today. There are always wars and famines and crisis, and it all seems like it's the end of the world. Now, my favorite answer still comes from St. Paul, who says, we're living in the end of days. Granted, we've been living in the end of days for over 2,000 years, but there's still the end of days. You know, we just don't know how much longer the end of days go. You know, the end is just a relative experience for us. And a great reminder for us when we look at this gospel, when we look at even these readings from Paul and Malachi, we have this great reminder to us that no matter when it happens, when Christ comes again, the great reminder to us is not knowing that moment, but being ready the moment before. It's about being ready now for the great reality that maybe Christ will come this afternoon. Or maybe he'll come in another 2,000 years. The exhortation for us is to be ready now. To be living a life that we would not be ashamed to meet Christ today. That we live in such a way, that we act in such a way, that we honestly could directly look God in the face today and say, yes, I have lived a life faithful to you. And I wish to go to heaven. It's a great reminder to us as we come into November, as we come into literally the end of the church year, that as we wind these things down, we don't remember the dead in November out of some kind of macabre, some kind of bizarre joke. But it's a great reminder to us that we should all stand ready for that great reality. That we ourselves as people of God must be ready now for what is coming. Whether it comes during the Bears game today or it comes in 2,000 years. And if we're ready, if we can honestly say that we find ourselves in that disposition, living the life that God calls us to be, being in a state of grace, then we're living into the gospel today. I find it interesting, quick side note, I find it very interesting in the book of Malachi, he describes this great event, the day is coming, it blazes like an oven, where everything's going to be burned. Everything. It's going to be burned away. Root, branch, it's all gone. To what? Well, it says, for those who fear his name, there will arise the Son of Justice with healing rays. You don't need healing unless you've been burned. Or hurt in another way, but I mean in this analogy, because you've been burned. Fire burns away, and it has such a curious property in that it burns away so many incredible things. But there's something about that burning that actually brings about new growth and new life. I think it's a great reminder to us that we will experience tribulation. We will experience difficulty. Hopefully none of you are physically, literally burned. But we will experience this great challenge, and we will be through tribulations ourselves. But for those who are faithful, there is healing. There is restoration for us. And we are called to hold out for that and that great reality. And that's what we're reminded of today, to be faithful, even in difficulty, to follow after God in all of these times, so that whether God comes this afternoon or long, long, long after our grandchildren are dead, we honestly stand ready for God, watchful and waiting.